Brothers and sisters, we can't thank you enough for all your love, your support, and your faithfulness. It's been brought to my attention, if you really want to do something to bless us, to thank us, apparently simply hitting the like button on YouTube would be more impactful than what I ever knew, let alone subscribing to us on YouTube if you're not already. And then over on Spotify and Apple, please leave us a review. All of your listening and your comments to us mean the world to us. And do us a favor and just hit like on YouTube and leave us reviews on Spotify and Apple. And we're going to continue to serve you with our whole heart. Thank you so much.
Brother Josh, it's good to see you on this day.
Good to see you too.
Yeah,
just got back
man.
In town, actually.
That's why I know it. Where did you actually go? We're brothers, and I don't even know the specifics of what you just did.
Well, we're always doing something, so we're really busy. But, I used to travel a lot, like all the time. You know, that's how we met on the road, you know.
Yeah.
And because of the last few years being so crazy with COVID and everything and my own situation, I really didn't do much traveling. I came out and visited you, a while back. So that was awesome. But I've kind of been like hunkered down at home mostly. And I have been talking to an artist that I really admire named Archie Bronson. He owns Blood Orange Tattoo in Seattle. We've been talking about me coming out and doing a guest spot and maybe doing a collaboration for like honestly a couple of years now. And it's becoming one of those things, you know, like when you go to you finally go to dinner with friends and like at the end of the night, you're like, we got to keep on doing this. Let's do it again. But like,
that's right.
You know, two more years are going to roll by before it happens, you know?
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. It started turning into that. Right. And I was like, man, I'm feeling good enough. I'm going to reach out. And, Archie and I talked and, was like, yeah, come on out, you know, like, if you feel up to it, let's do a collaboration. I'll have you, you know, if you want to do a seminar. And I was like, this sounds awesome. And it's close enough. Seattle's only like a 5-hour drive for me. So we did it, you know, on Nikki's birthday weekend, went out there and we did it. And it was great. I don't know if you've been to Seattle, but it's pretty awesome. It's similar to Oregon. A lot of rain and stuff, but like a lot of tech there. Mm. Like where we stayed was literally we walked by the Google campus every day, you know, which is kind of cool to see. A lot of really innovative things going on there. But Archie's studio. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you teach when you were there?
Seminar? I did. Yeah. So I taught like a version of my Everything I Know seminar in person. So I guess it would be called Some of the Stuff I Know.
Yeah.
You know, I mainly focused on my hybrid technique. And it was great. Like Archie's studio is really beautiful. Like I said, it's a Blood Orange Tattoo. It's like this private, you kind of have to know where it's at. It's just like a little sign on the door. Mm. And Archie has a lot of really amazing guest artists come through, you know, and when I got there, an artist that, you know, we all know and love, Hip is a huge fan of Flip Shades.
Yeah.
He was actually already there guesting when I got there. So that was the first time I got to meet him in person. Great guy, just super fun guy. And he was doing the largest patch back piece, like the largest patch tattoo I think probably has ever been done. You know how people are doing those patch tattoos?
Right.
They look like actual, like you could feel them. You know, you see like the threads and stuff.
Totally.
He was doing this guy's entire back.
Wow.
Like it was just like this giant skull with shades on, you know.
And is it one big patch or a back piece of patches?
One big piece.
Wow.
One giant skull with sunglasses. When I got there, they had just started and they did, I think they did 8 hours the first day and like 10 hours the next day.
Jeez. You know,
and it's like, it really shows the power of both the artist and the canvas because, you know, tattoos can fucking hurt, right? And the guy was definitely like in some pain, obviously, you know?
Right.
And me and Nikki and we're like, man, is this guy going to really come back the next day? You know? And, you know, Flip Shades is like, he'll be here. He'll be here. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, he showed up. He brought a book. He ended up reading, like he said, I think he said he read like 350 plus pages of his book. And honestly, he did. I think he might have done even better the next day. He found his inner warrior. You know, he sat through it. He knocked it out, man. It was cool to see, you know, the power of that.
And was it color?
It was, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, because, you know,
deep
you're talking about Flip Shades Rick. Shout out, yes. Flip Shades. We love you. He is a great brother. Fast as fuck, man. Full color any back piece in 2 days.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And, like, we were talking about it. Like, it's probably, like, I'm assuming it's the biggest, specifically patch tattoo, I would think, probably ever done. I'm sure he's got it posted on his Instagram or somewhere on his social media.
Yes. Well, this Archie feller is a lucky guy, I'm sure, and it speaks to who he is for you to take the time to finally go and make that happen. And I know it's one from a place of a friend saying, like, hey, we got to do something. We got to do something together over the years. That's just beautiful. I mean,
yeah, we've been talking about it forever. And, like, it's one of those things where, like, you know, kind of like you and I, before we did the podcast, like, we knew each other, right? But we became friends during, like, in front of everybody, basically.
Right.
You know, and so, like, Archie and I, like, knew each other, but, like, you know, spending the time together, going to dinner together, like, you know, meeting his girlfriend, like, you really become an actual real friend. And I think that was nice. You know, as we get older, it's not super easy to make friends, right? Like, I don't care how many followers I have. Like, are we going to really kick it for real? You know, right. So that, I think that was one of the things that I enjoyed the most this weekend was, like, this, like, the camaraderie, the fellowship, you know. I was nervous, you know. I have not done a collaboration in quite some time. We had no idea what we were going to do, you know, like, the day before. Like, he was busy tattooing. I didn't want to bother him. So, you know, I went home and kind of, you know, drew up, like, three different things that I was really into and presented them to him, kind of just waiting for him to be like, oh no. And, like, we're going to do it this way. Like, is somebody going to be, like, in control? Is it going to be 50-50? And he liked everything, you know, that I had kind of presented, and we both decided on two of them. And then we kind of narrowed it down to one, and we knew the client. He was already somebody that had had collaborations in the past.
Yeah.
Great, fantastic client. He really just was, like, not only open-minded, set like a rock, but anyway, we basically just showed him, like, we're like, this is what you're getting, you know, because anything, he kind of expected that. And we went with the skull, but, like, Archie's really known for doing these, like, really gonzo, wild, you know, super, like, trippy eyes and stuff, you know, like, they'll have these waves coming off of them.
Yeah.
And so he kind of put that spin on, like, my oil painting looking skull. He put this really trippy background and, like, pulled the eyes up all crazy. And I think it really worked, you know, but I told Archie, I'm like, look, I don't want to waste anybody's time, but I'm only tattooing, like, 4 hours at a time. And I hit a wall, and I'm looking on your Instagram, and I'm seeing, like, 13 hour collaborations. And he's like, oh, you know, it's totally cool. He's like, we don't have to go that long. Like, I'm thinking, like, 6 hours. And I'm like, okay, I think I can make that happen. It was like 10 hours. But it kind of, it worked out. We started together, right? We started working on it together. Kind of, I started at the top, he started at the bottom, and in an area that, like, you know, when you're tattooing together, like, just stretching the skin, it's not the act of stretching, it's the act of when you let go, right? And you let go, it snaps back. And so if he's doing something delicate, it could fuck him up. Since it was this, right? It was this background. So we kind of, like, were able to kind of, like, become one artist, you know, why we did that. And then when it got to the other parts, I would just tattoo for, like, 2 or 3 hours and then tag him in, and he would tattoo for 2 or 3 hours. So even though it was, like, 10 hours ish, I got a lot of breaks. He got a lot of breaks. So I bet you I ended up only tattooing around 6 hours, like he said, myself.
Right. Yeah. You know,
but there was one time when we had about an hour left, I was like, oh fuck. Like, you know, there was not a huge part, but in my brain, it was massive. Like, how are we ever going to get this done? You know what I mean? So I learned a lot from that. The picture is posted on my Instagram as well as Archie's and probably Blood Orange. If you want to check it out, there's a video. I think our styles worked out really, really well. I'm super happy. Yeah.
He's like, you're like, so, man, really, I can't go all that, but how much time you really think we should allot? And he's like, 5 or 6 hours
each.
And he walks off.
Exactly. Like, yeah. He's like, I told you. I wasn't lying.
Then you're all like, how are we ever going to get this done? Then the dude with the world's largest fucking back piece comes walking by. You're like, exactly. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Exactly. It was funny. The guy that was getting the back piece, he would take a break and he would walk around with his arms all out and like this. And he looked like one of those like avatars when you're choosing a fighter on a video game. He was just like standing there like, you know. It was pretty funny.
Oh damn, oh my god, what a trooper.
Got me thinking about how much I miss traveling, and like I said, like I think for tattooers, you know what I mean, like especially after COVID, right, like getting back out there and getting back into that real life. Mm-hmm. there's that saying, you know, you need to go touch grass, you know what I mean, like getting out there and really really living. And mm-hmm. I really realized my fear of getting sick from, you know, mm-hmm. with my immune system and everything, when I got mm-hmm. out there and lived some real life, I felt like a kid again, to be honest with you. Dude. You know, just the tattooing was great. The seminar was wonderful. But like, honestly, like just the connection to just mm-hmm. be with some real friends, it really gave me a little bit of something like renewed, you know?
Yes, brother. My God. You know, when I travel, especially when I was in San Miguel recently, but I feel like I'm in a painting.
Mm. Yeah.
Like whenever we travel and I just like look around, notice like we're not in Kansas anymore, you know, and all of a sudden just exploring and experiencing the moment like you're talking about becomes as if you're in a living painting, you know.
I can absolutely see that.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Another person walks in, it's a new brush stroke, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like when I was younger, I used to like, I'd be in the back of the car and my family would be driving, we'd be going to some vacation spot. And I always had this wild imagination, you know, like I would see all these houses and I'm like, every one of those houses has got people in it that have lives. They have their own problems and their mm-hmm. own struggles and we don't know them. Like this is a total stranger. But then the simple thing of like, let's say you went to a restaurant, right? There's a family next to you and you don't know them whatsoever. But if for some random reason you overheard them or somehow you started to talk to them, like there's a spark, right? And that person mm-hmm. could potentially become very involved in your life if you actually became real friends.
Right.
Or that spark could have never happened and you could never see them again. And it's so weird to me to think how we're all connected. Man. But like, there's just that little piece that you have, you know what I mean? Like how many people don't even know their neighbors at all? Right.
Right. Right.
Like, right. You know, I used to always be envious, you know, on TV shows, like the neighbor's always like the coolest friend. I always just pop by all the time. And it's like, mm-hmm. I never got that, you know, mm-hmm. you know,
but you're right. I noticed that even more so, like, again, when I'm in a part of the world where we don't even speak the same language.
Yeah.
But find ourselves still having that spark and making yeah. that connection.
And that's one of the reasons that my music is instrumental, because you can listen to it. It doesn't matter what language you speak or hear. Mm. Like you can, instrumental music can mean what it's going to mean to you in all languages. And, yes. And I've always really liked that, you know?
Yes.
It's like, yeah. I think our slogan used to be like, we communicate through music without language.
I love it, you know, and I think one that we always bring up too is go out into all the world and share the good news. And if you must, use words.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love that.
Oh man, traveling is beautiful, and it is like creating a painting. And again, to get reinvigorated, to get re-inspired, to get even re-centered sometimes in your perspective, because we can all get caught up in our own cocoons. You yeah. know, this is why I think like going to visit brothers and guest spotting. And again, they are so lucky that you drove to Seattle with Nicole on her birthday to be a part of,
that deal. I feel lucky too, to have been invited. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
I feel it's lucky that huge. People wanted to take my seminar, you know, like even after all these years, it's like, hey, will you teach a seminar? And like that imposter syndrome that's still in me. I'm like, I wonder if anybody will buy a ticket, you know? And it's like, you know, luckily yeah. it was packed, you know, and it was packed with some really, really wonderful people.
Right.
They all listened to the podcast. They were, you know what I mean? It's very cool to know that like our tattoo world is tighter and smaller than we realize, you know?
My God. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like we say all the time, people aren't always going to remember what your Instagram, they're not always going to remember your portfolio. They're not always going to remember everything you said.
Yeah.
But they will remember how you made them feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? And I think that's important. You know, we talk about how words matter, you know, it's, the things that you say in passing can really have a deep effect on people's lives. Like we've talked about this before, but you know, just like I said, like I'll think, oh, I really knocked it out of the park with the seminar when I said this, but it's always that one little random thing that you just said in passing that's the one thing that somebody was like, a lot of times it's like, I already knew that, but hearing you say it confirmed it to me that I'm on the right path and I needed that. You know, and it's like, oh, that's awesome. Cause I've been there. I've definitely been there, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. And even back to what we say to people every day without words.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it's the energy behind it. Even like you said, what you just said, when you'll finally use words and it lands, it hits, it has a moment of transformation. Right. Either the seed has already been sown in that person's mind and their heart. And so when you finally said it that whatever time, the seventh time, boom, it impacted them because the seed was sown. And or even if it was the first time it was said to them, it wasn't just the word as much as the spirit and the energy flowing through you behind those words that created the impact. Meanwhile, you may not even know it in the moment yourself is what you're saying, you know?
Yeah. And especially hearing it like just down the road, right? Running into somebody years later and then them being like, hey, I don't know if you remember, but you told me this and it really helped me or it changed me.
It's
like, holy shit. So imagine the power of that if it had gone the other way. Like, hey, you know, 10 years ago, you told me I was never going to amount to anything. Like how much that affects somebody in a negative way. Right.
Yeah. Right.
It's why it's important to, like you say, you know, if you're thinking about somebody, like let them know, you know,
absolutely. Absolutely, man. You know, last week, was Hell City Tattoo Convention.
Yeah. Yeah.
In how Columbus, was that? Ohio. And like usual, it was great. Derb puts on a good show. And again, traveling, and for us, that's not a far travel, but my goodness, so many other artists are coming in from all over the globe. Another beautiful thing about shows, as you know, is getting to run into, not only meet new people network, but all the people that you've already met at a prior engagement, right? So inspiring, so beautiful, so powerful. This is what we call networking, right? And even in TBM, we talk about the three currencies. One's your net worth, how much money you make, your pricing, your rates, your ability to invest. All that is your financial situation. That's obviously your net worth. Two is your audience, your clients, the people following you, like, right? But number three is your network. Who do you know? Who are you rolling with? Who are you associating with? You know, who are you literally, who's your tribe? Right.
Yeah.
So important, and it matters. And we've talked about it often in the past, is it takes courage sometimes to even go up and meet somebody, to go and holler, you know, especially if you have been cool guide or someone's giving you the cold shoulder. Like none of us, we're all wired. We're not wired to be the most courageous. Hello, who are you? Hi, I'm so-and-so. Who are you? We're not wired to even be successful. We're all wired to want to be liked and accepted.
Yeah.
Right.
Before the podcast, like I was always really big on like, don't make it about myself, my face, my name, just my theory was just if I did really good work, that would be enough. Right. So a lot of people didn't even know what I looked like. And they certainly didn't know what I was like. So oftentimes when I would meet somebody, once they were kind of comfortable, they'd be like, you know, for whatever reason, I just thought maybe you would be a dick if I met you or you are totally different than I expected. But since the podcast, you know, people have been able to actually get to know the real me. And, you know, that's, I noticed that that's kind of fallen away, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It's a little bit, I think it's a little bit easier. Like I wasn't like cool guying anybody or cold shouldering. I just was kind of letting my work speak for itself.
Sure.
So a lot of, yeah. People would be like, I didn't even know you were here because I didn't know what you looked like. And then I saw your banner, you know?
That's right. Or that your portfolio. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. I saw that guy walking around. Yeah. And who did that? And he's like, oh, Josh Carlton, he's right over there, you know? And they're like, oh shit, I didn't even know. So.
Well, and that was true for me. And when I even helped you carry in your deal, you know? Yeah. Oh my God. Yep. But my goodness, you know, it's the riches of life is who we get to partake on the journey, who we get to even go through the journey with. Like, none of us were meant to be islands. And yes, we want to, we're blessed to be tattoo artists and blessed to get to do our art and be creators and have fun and travel and create our own schedules. All of that. We're so blessed. We're so lucky to have the honor of getting to be a part of the rest of people's lives in this way in different towns and cities in the world. I mean, my goodness. But the real riches are all the relationships. You know, it reminds me of that old Rage Against the Machine song, you know, and I forget even which one, where he was like, fuck a Cadillac. I want the machines that are making them, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And it's kind of like, yeah, tattoos cool. But really, the relationship with the person that's getting the tattoo could just be like, way even cooler, and where the riches are at. And that's where I found, but not just in clients, but also you fellow artists who we know one another's trials and tribulations. We can honor and respect one another. We have a clue a little bit of what it took you to even get here to this town, this city, and this show with your gear and all of that. Like, we got mad love and respect, and it shows to sharpen one another, to lift one another up, just to slap hands and give one another a hug, to give you a little more strength in your life till I see you next year, whatever the case may be, right?
Right.
Is where the real love and the real power's at, which is what you were saying was camaraderie.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes some of these people you will, they're like your friends, and they're like real friends, which you'll see them once a year at Hell City. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see them on the road, and somehow you stay connected. You know, Bob Terrell and I've been friends forever, and it's like we just see each other once every few years on the road, but it's like
that's right,
right back at it like it was yesterday. You know,
And
it's a beautiful thing. Like, that's just how it is sometimes. Some of those are, they're just great friendships, you know?
That's right. That's right. My goodness.
I feel like these people would do anything for me, and I would do the same for them. You know, somebody, you know, hey, my luggage didn't make it. I don't have my machines. We got you, brother. We got you, sister. Like, we're going to all collectively, you know, you go sit down because we're going to get this stuff for you. You're good.
Love it. So good. So good. If you don't mind, I'm going to give you like maybe just 4 or 5 pointers, all you listeners, of encouragement, of 5 tips on how to network or what to do when you're networking at shows. Is that all right, Brother
Josh?
That
sounds awesome. Yeah, sounds fantastic.
Yeah, okay. Well, in the name of networking, number one, let's start here. The power of remembering and utilizing names. Right.
Yes.
Remembering someone's names. Well, check it, guys. I don't know if you're anything like me. I suck at remembering names. Right. But here's the deal. You know what? Since I suck at remembering names, I own that. And since I do, I have found I'm not the only one. Most people sigh with relief like, OK, I do, too. Right. And how do I do that? By simply owning it. So if I just met you, I don't care if it's fucking 45 seconds later, I'm going to own it and be like, I already forgot your first name again, right? And when they tell me again, I'll immediately own it and say, you know what? I may be the guy that asks you 4 more times, but I'm going to ask you because I really want to know. And I'll ask you till it sticks versus pretending. I don't like to pretend. Yep. And when I'm just honest with someone, that leaves an impact. This guy really gives a fuck about remember my name. He just told me so, and he asked me 3 times, right? But now when I address that person by name, it's fucking powerful. But guess what ends up happening, Josh, in that deal? They end up remembering my name. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And it can happen anywhere. Guys, I was out to dinner last week by myself. It was a gift from my wife, and it was me and God out to dinner. I'm on the patio, and I'm not a regular here, right? But I'd been eating and with my server, and the bartender is already on a first name basis with them. I did what I just told you with both of them real quick to where I knew their names and they knew mine. Well, now another party shows up, and it's two young brothers, and I'm just talking with them. But they think I basically run this place by the way the server and the bartender's treating me and speaking to me and calling me by name. And I could tell they thought like I'm in some power play. And right. I immediately imparted into them that what I just did and that they can do it too. And I did it all just 10 minutes before they got here, that I'm not anybody, right? And so it's applicable whether we're at a show or at a restaurant or at the coffee shop. In the art of building relationships, the preparation to own your own deal and make it a point to remember someone's name and they realize it, right? That's huge. So that's number one tip right there.
Yeah, that's huge. Fantastic. That's powerful. Because I'm bad at that. I always forget names and I do that weird thing where I basically like wait for my wife to introduce herself to them. So, yep. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I find myself going, oh, I'm sorry. I just assume everybody knows everybody. Like, I just feel like it's dumbass. You know, it's not that I don't care. I just don't remember it. You know, I'm thinking
that's
about.
That's right. And we do the same, like in those moments. And with me, you know, when I'll lose someone's name, when I'm supposed to definitely know it, like if in a moment I forget your name, like someone supposed to forget.
Yeah, I've absolutely done that. Like a good friend standing right next to you. And you're like, this is my friend.
Yeah.
He has a name somewhere.
Dude, that too happened to me at Hell City.
Yeah.
And I never did make the introduction. And so then the conversation ended and they left and I felt bad. And I went to my friend and just went to him. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. I did not introduce you. In that moment, I had a complete brain block and I forgot their names and yours.
Yeah.
You know, but again, to restore that, I just went and owned it.
Yeah.
And restored any impact. And, you know, now I know that dude's name. His name's AJ. Shout out, brother AJ, if you're listening. Happy day.
That's the good thing is like once you solidify it, you're definitely not going to forget it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Right. Watch, I get a message later that it's actually not AJ. I'm just kidding. Okay. So that was number one. Let's move on to number two. To capture it, to capture the moment, to have the courage to take pick with everyone, to have the courage to actually capture and document the moment. This is a time capsule for you for reasons you don't even know. Now, we want to capture it for the reasons you do know, even if you want to share it on the grams this week. Like, I finally got to meet Joshua Carlton. I had the courage to go up and he took a selfie with me, right? You can capture it for the reasons you do know while you're taking the pic today.
Right.
But it could become a great gem for your future self that the version of you right now can't even appreciate yet.
Yeah, that's actually really cool.
It really is.
And like even being the one, so like instead of waiting for them, like as if they're a fan of you, like, hey, Matt, do you care? Like, we've just had this conversation. Hey, can we grab a pic? Like, if you actually say, it's great to meet you. And you got a little conversation that you like. And then you say, let's grab a quick pic. Bam. Like,
Josh. Come on.
If I had met one of my, you know, I'm not saying I'm anybody's hero, but I know I have heroes. So if I had met, when I met Robert Hernandez, if he grabbed me and grabbed a picture of me and him before I had a chance to, you better fucking believe I'd never forget that. Absolutely. That's powerful stuff, you know?
Yeah, man. Oh my God. It's beautiful. You know, and so any way you can capture it, you know, and to document it. Now, one is capture it in the moment. To document it is later. What are you going to do with it? Right.
Right.
Definitely document it. Share it for your future self and for your current self and everyone else. Now, here's another tip. I want you to know in the process when you're doing this, because it takes courage. Guys, Josh said he was just still nervous last week to go guest at his buddy's place and teach, but he was still nervous. I went to Hell City last week. It took me courage. I had to get myself ready, come get on the elevators, knowing when they step off, right? And so I get it. We all have to prepare ourselves for a social gathering. To be social, and we can become afraid. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, here's, I definitely have.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Josh.
I just definitely have like a social battery. You know what I mean? Like yep. It runs out. Like mm-hmm. It's weird. It's like I don't not enjoy it. I'll go out. I want to meet, you know, but it's a lot of times it's like, let's do this. Let's do dinner later too. And mm-hmm. I'm like, man, that's a lot.
You know, that's
what I
mean? Right.
I don't know what, I think a lot of us are like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't not want to be there. It's just for some reason, it can be really draining on me, you know?
That's right. And that's the self-awareness game. And know that, and you're right. A lot of us are that way. A lot of artists are that way, but, and it's a personality because yes, some have a battery and it can get drained. It's awareness. Others, those very settings is what charges their battery. You absolutely. Know what I'm saying? So yeah. Everybody's different in that deal. And that's just, again, grown in that self-awareness game. But to document it, but the reason why I bring that up is because it takes courage, right? Is when you're afraid, just know this. This is a huge tip and it may seem simple. Just know that everyone's afraid. Everyone is like, and chances are even more afraid than you. Right. And let that comfort you. To just go ahead and comfort them and know that it's okay. This, we apply courage and do it anyways now, but with some empathy for you and for them. Like, ooh, this is scary, but everyone's scared. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just having that awareness that not only self-awareness, but you know, the awareness of others around you, like you don't know what this person's going through, what they're thinking. Mm. And sometimes people will do something. If I find myself often asking, like, why would that person have acted that way? And it's like, you don't know, maybe it might be their social battery or it might be, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think a lot of times we reflect mainly in on ourselves. Like it's always the Josh show for me, or, you know, it might be the Matt show for you. Like, but oftentimes the other person is having their show for them. So they're saying something that you think is reflecting on you, but it's actually them reflecting on themselves, you know?
Mm. Yep. Yeah, man. Yeah. Whoa. Love it. You know, another big one that's real, real important, guys, because again, I mean, we're applying courage here. We're going up. We're having the courage to network, to actually meet people, to get our pics with them, to capture it, and to make it a point to remember their name, all of that. And here's another thing that pops up when you're doing this. Imposter syndrome, right? I'm a nobody, right? Who am I? I'm going to go meet. I want, look, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's here, but I'm a nobody. They don't know me, right? And this is one of my biggest passions, because it's like helping so-called nobodies become somebodies by realizing that they already are walking in their power. Guys, it's so weird. You know, when I entered the game, did nobody know me, including Joshua? Just this last weekend at Hell City, I'm in Paul Booth's booth with him. And it's just me and Paul Booth kicking it next to Ty McEwen while he's doing his beautiful work. Right. Now, most people, you don't just dare just walk up in Paul Booth's booth and plop down and be like, what up? You know what I'm saying? But why did I get to do that? I'll tell you what, guys. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say Paul Booth's never seen my tattoos. So it's not like I impressed him because, like, I somehow proved to him I'm on his level or his caliber as a tattoo artist. Must have been something else. It must have been something else. It must have been like someone that's just like a complete nobody that he doesn't even know had the courage to just go up. and start building a relationship with me, you know? Right. Show after show, time after time again, you know, and I've got so many friends in the industry, and it wasn't because of my work. Now, yes, I validated myself years on. I'm not downplaying the years that I did go hard. But I just can attest to it that the real riches and the real art is beyond your portfolio. And it's, again, you know, just who you are and how you show up. But I'm not friends with heavy hitters in the industry because I became one as an artist and then they accepted me, blah, blah. And is that a way? Sure. It's just not the only way. At the end of the day, people don't care what you do, you know, as right. much as who you are and how you make them feel, you know. And artists are fucking humans, aren't they, Josh? And they're just starving for fucking, they just want to be around real shit. Even the people that just show up and be like, you're the greatest, you're the greatest. Right. Every artist needs to hear that. But even eventually, they just need to be like around some real talk, you know, just exactly. real people. Some,
yes, real people.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm inspired when I see people at shows who I don't have a clue, and I can tell they got the glow on and they're going up and doing this networking. You, even if you can tell they're scared, but my heart, I love it because they're doing it, you know? Yeah. And a lot of you came up to me at a Hell City, and it was just beautiful. Yeah, it was absolutely inspiring for all of you. And then the last tip I want to leave you guys with, after all that, is the importance of following up.
Mm.
Who did you meet? Whose names did you remember? How many pics did you take? And yeah, you may want to brag about it, post about it on your Instagram and tag them and hope they see it and like it, maybe even comment. Cool.
Yeah.
Is that it? Right? Or how many of them are you just following up with personally because you actually care? The fortune's yeah. in the follow-up. The riches are in the relationships. My God, what good is a painting if there are no eyes to see it? What good is a song if there are no ears to hear it? What good is this life if there we have no friends to share it with?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think just These are great things to do. And I think that in doing them together, it can make your weekend such a different experience, right?
Mm.
You know, there's so many artists that just kind of like, you know, if they're actually lucky enough to be able to attend a convention and work it, you know, they're usually either A, really busy, or a lot of people just kind of get lost in their own heads and don't even walk around. And later on, somebody's yep. talking about, did you see that work from some new artist that no one's really heard of yet, but they're like something special. And then that artist is like, no, I was too busy. I didn't even see it. And they're missing mm-hmm. out on the magic of this amazing mm-hmm. New tattooer that's going to explode onto the scene, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I love those moments when we're at the bar later on, right? When we're kicking it in the back patio and we just get to talk to these artists and you get to fall in love with these new people for the yeah. first time, you know what I mean? And
oh,
you know,
God.
This is something special. Like, yeah. dude, I love that so much. I'm like, man, I remember when we met, you know, mm-hmm. it's cool. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was talking to Jeff Gogway the other day. I'm fortunate enough that I've been asked to write an article for his magazine, Olinjar, which is a great magazine, by the way, if you guys have not picked it up. I think it's quarterly. It's one of the very few remaining tattoo magazines. It's really nice and thick and like really well built. And so, yeah, I've been super lucky to have been asked to write an article for it. So Jeff and I were talking and it was so neat to reminisce about like when we first met and just how long we've been in each other's lives on some level, you know.
Right.
And stayed connected through all of these years, through all of this journey, through all of the mm-hmm. changes in our lives, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Oh, so my God.
He met his girlfriend at Evergreen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, like you started the show, some of the greatest things about the travel, which is what I'm calling being in the painting, are the people we encounter along the way. And man, just the riches of it. And speaking of when I felt like a so-called nobody, and all of you listeners that didn't know me, that I didn't know you, but yet you had the courage to come up to me at Hell City. I just want to acknowledge all of you. And as an example and a representation of all of us, I decided just as an extra special treat to extend the invite to just bring one of you on. One of you who I didn't have a clue who you were and came up and had the courage to introduce yourself to me at Hell City like so many of you did. A beautiful soul named Florida. And Florida came up not only with the courage to make the introduction, but also had a pad of paper and a pen, and apparently goes and asks specific artists three questions. And she asks all artists the same three questions and has a notebook full of answers from artists all over and brought that to me. But I wanted to bring her on today and to meet you, Josh, here right now. Mike, do we have her ready to come on? Happy day. Happy day. Well, hello, Florida. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks. Florida, meet Joshua Carlton. Joshua, meet Florida.
Hey, it's wonderful to meet you.
It's awesome to meet you too, man.
I really appreciate you joining us. This is a neat surprise.
Yeah, it was a surprise for me too.
Woo! Now, Mike, she just now get audio or has been hearing? Have you heard any of the conversation leading up to this point?
Mm-mm.
Okay, great. Awesome. Happy day. Well, and I was just sharing with Josh and the brothers and the guardians, just the courage that it takes for people at a show to network and go up and even say hi and introduce themselves, which, you know, is a huge proponent after my own heart. And mm-hmm. So many folks at Hell City came up and did just that very thing with me and totally blessed me in as an example for all guardians in the world to apply courage no matter what. I wanted to bring you on and introduce you to the world as a great example of such.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Were you scared to come up and meet me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I almost didn't. It's weird because, like, I go up and, like all of last year and then continuing into this year, like last year I only attended conventions for the sole purpose of like seeing what they were like and kind of preparing myself for working them. And then also just to learn as much as I possibly could.
Yes.
Every single time I'm nervous and like, I'll just look for artists who are doing like what I want to do at the level that I want to do it. And those are the people that, cause there's so many people to talk to. So I kind of have to narrow it down a little bit for myself.
Sure.
But it's different when it's somebody that you already follow and you already listen to and appreciate the stuff that they have to say. And like, so when I saw you standing there, I was like, holy shit. Like that's Matt Clemmer.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I just went for it and it turned out great. So
my God, Florida, I'm so glad you went for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it blessed me too, you know? And not only did you have the courage to come up and meet that Matt Clemmer guy, but then what happened?
Yeah, well, and yeah, now I get to join Tattoo Business Mastery, which I'm insanely excited for. And now I'm meeting, unbeknownst to, I think, both of you, but one of my heroes, Joshua Carlton.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, so, so good. Well, when you approached me, what did you have in your hands?
My notebook, which I actually have right here.
Okay. And go ahead and tell our listeners what you do with that notebook and what you did with me with it.
So I figured out through trial and error that there's three questions that I tend to get the best information from, whether it comes to like tattoo advice, life advice, business advice. Like it keeps the door pretty open and people just give me like the best advice ever.
So great.
So I actually got two of them from a motivational speaker, two of the questions, and I wish I could remember his name, but it was like part of a compilation. And he described going on these things called learning lunches, yeah, which is another way to learn from people doing like what you want to do, like at the level that you want to do it. But with tattoo artists, like that's a very corporate idea. And like tattooing is not, you know, it yeah, didn't quite fit that. And then my mentor actually told me, like, well, he was the one that suggested just go to conventions. Yeah. You can have like 100 learning lunches yeah, in one day.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so that's kind of started that for me.
Okay, great.
The first question I always
ask.
Hold
on real quick. So she got three questions, and I want to let you guys know, it's not like when she goes interviews an artist that they've got like 3 hours to answer, or at least I didn't. It was like, whatever comes to you right now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so in the name of like the playing this game in real time, in real life, Mr. Carlton, would you like to play?
Sure, absolutely.
I was actually really hoping that I could ask.
Okay, great. So
I hope you don't mind if I'm also writing stuff down.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I have no idea what these questions are, just so everybody knows. So
that's right. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Woo. So off, what would you say is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
That's a really good question.
All three of them were stumpers for me, Josh. Yeah.
I've gotten such good advice, but I do think some of the best advice that I've ever gotten as far as tattooing goes is to do every tattoo like it's the last one you'll ever do.
Mm. Man. Woo. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's honestly, and I've gotten a lot of answers. It's probably one of the best ones I've gotten.
Awesome. Well, I'm about to let you down on number two.
Yeah, I'm about to let you down. Question number two.
So the second one, and actually Matt gave me a way to restructure this to make it, I think you described it as more palatable.
Yeah,
and
right.
So I'm
going to
turn back a little bit. So, what's an amazing lesson you learned from a major mistake?
I'm a big fan of making mistakes, as weird as that might sound, yeah, because I'm a huge fan of learning in general. Mm. I learned, fortunately, early on that my mistakes were just, you know, learning hurdles, I guess you could call it. So the question was, can you repeat it one more time? I apologize.
What's an amazing lesson you learned from a major mistake, okay, or like one of the best lessons you learned?
Yeah. I learned basically to be able to get over that quickly. I can kind of rebound pretty quickly from a mistake instead of stewing in like, I can't believe I did that. I should know better than that. I was able to learn like, okay, you are smart enough to get past this. Right. We're not going to sit here and stew in the mistake and be mad at ourselves. Like I didn't just allow myself to basically punish myself. I just got right back up and went right back to work with a new plan, a new model, a new way to try, a new way to fail even.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people do think, when I'm teaching a seminar, I'll notice, I'll say, I still get nervous before I tattoo, and they'll kind of like laugh. Like I'll say I lose sleep over tattoos and they're like, oh, and it's like, I really, really do. Right. So when you say a major mistake, like I've made them all, you know, and that's not something to be ashamed of. Like, you know, I think people just perceive somebody as like, you know, Matt just was born with a tattoo machine in his hand and he was amazing. It's like, we all stumbled, we all fell, but we got back up.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you want me to jump into the next one?
Yeah, number three.
Yeah.
All right, and then the last one is, what do you do or have you done outside of tattooing to make your tattooing better?
For me, the biggest thing that I have done that's made my tattooing better is to become a painter. Specifically, really studying artists like that became that were before tattooing, you know what I mean? Studying classical art, actually going and taking real art classes, studying ateliers, going to museums, because the universal truths for every artist are there. Tattooing ultimately is a craft, right? And we have to put the needle in the right depth. We have to put the pigment in the right depth. But that's the craft part of it. Because people will say, like, is tattooing an art or a craft? I always say it's simple. It's both, right? Yes, ultimately it's a craft, the actual act of doing the tattoo correctly. But at the heart of it, it's art. So I think once I stopped just obsessing and buying tattoo magazines, books, being chronically online, just tattoo stuff, and poured myself into the world of pure art, everything changed for me. And it gave me the courage to be the artist that I've always meant to be. And it made me flourish. And it made me fall in love with tattooing all over again.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that is, so I've been told painting a lot of times. There's so many artists who their answer to that question is painting. And some of them will specify and they'll be like specifically oils or specifically acrylics or like
watercolor.
Guy told me to do more still life paintings because I hadn't done any yet. And so I actually completed my first still life painting like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And yeah, but I like how you broke it down with studying more of like the, what would they're like referred to as like cold
master. Cold masters. Exactly. Yeah. I think that as tattooers, we really get it in our head that like, line, shade, color, right? These are the rules. But once you learn how to do a good scar-free, clean tattoo, and you know how to tattoo, then you can start implementing it in different ways, right? We know we need lots of black because we know we need lots of contrast. How can I utilize that to make it look like this, you know? And I think it just really opens a lot of doors. And also because tattoo artists generally stencil everything, I feel like a lot of us are really boxed in. Even though we used to draw so much before we tattooed, you slowly, you know, we got the iPads and everything. You just like everything is stenciled. And you forget that you actually, this whole thing started because you're an artist, right? And when you study paintings, especially if you can eventually get to where you're painting from life, you're less worried about, what if my stencil wipes off? Because guess what? You're an artist. You can do it. You can figure this out. This is what you were born to do.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
My goodness. Florida, thank you so much. How long you been asking artists these three questions? Well, let me change the question. However many artists you have asked, are there some either common answers you get? Or what are, and then I also want to know, what are some of your favorite answers you've gotten?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'd say a lot of people recommend painting, but like I said, like they'll all break it down and recommend like different avenues or aspects of it, which is cool because it gives me more and more things that I want to try. I think for,
like, what was question number one again?
What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Yeah.
A lot of people, I want to say, gosh, just now my mind's going completely blank. Normally I can think of a lot of stuff. Oh yeah. A lot of people say to listen pretty much in one way or another. They'll word it like slightly differently, but a lot of people talk
That's
about
great
that.
Advice.
There's
listen more. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a weird like mix. I'd say like a lot of times, half the time people will say like do art every single day or tattoo as much as you possibly can, stuff like that. And then on the other side, people will be like, make sure you take care of yourself, make time for yourself, have a life outside of tattooing, take care of your body, like all that stuff.
Those are great too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are like really, really common ones, but obviously all of them go into detail in their own ways. It's cool because a lot of the conversations will like, I'll start off with those three questions. And then oftentimes that breaks the ice enough that I can actually stand there and like watch them tattoo for a few hours. There's one artist that I sat and watched him tattoo for the entire convention. Like, and I don't think he realized how serious I was at first. Cause I was like, is it cool if I watch you? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, kind of like step right. He's like, yeah. And I stood there and just like watched him tattoo for 8 hours. And he was like, oh shit. And I was like,
yeah, right.
I asked you a few questions, like, while you're working. This was before I had figured out, like, the three questions. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And I made sure to, like, really try and pay attention to what he was doing and trying to break it down in my head. And he was packing in black, and I was like, oh, okay, so to achieve that look, you're doing, like, this and then this. And he, like, looked up kind of surprised. He's like, yeah. And then also, and then I didn't even have to ask questions the rest of the time. He just was explaining everything to me. It was a really awesome opportunity. That was,
right.
I don't know if you guys have heard of Lukasz Smyka. He's from Poland.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. And this is such a good example of what we were talking about before you were on. Like, imagine if you hadn't approached Lukasz.
Mm-hmm.
You got so much knowledge. But, you know, if you would have been too shy, too scared, that would have never happened.
Yeah, exactly. And then it wouldn't have led into me, because that really opened my eyes to the fact that, like, the tattoo community is so supportive. And, like, people are like, oh, one of these days you're going to run into somebody that's going to tell you to, like, fuck off, you know? And I'm like, it hasn't happened yet. And I've talked to a lot of people, and they're always stoked to share, and they're always stoked to see somebody that's, like, excited to learn and wants to learn, you know?
I bet you they can feel your energy, too. You know what I mean? They can feel the energy you're putting out. I've been at shops. I was at a shop one time where a newer artist walked in. And she immediately was like, hey, I'm the woman that's going to be standing over your shoulder, taking all your secrets. And one of the artists was like, the fuck you are, you know, because she kind of approached him with the wrong energy. You know,
right,
she was more like
right.
just telling him I'm going to do this. And I remember I was tattooing and I was like, and I'm like,
yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. Yes. Yes. Florida approached pleasantly and asked, you know.
And I think that goes back to, like, you know, we're talking about traveling, like, you know, kind of convention etiquette and stuff. Just this simple act of asking. I've even seen photographers get kind of called out that they just feel like they can just openly take pictures of everybody. And sometimes people are like, hey, you know, I don't necessarily want my pictures in the magazine, you know, and they're like, right. Whoa, you know. So I even for myself, like if I'm going to film for like Instagram or whatever, I always just kind of a politely, hey, do you mind if we get this for the gram, you know, and they always say yes. But I think it goes a long way just to show you actually know they're not just a canvas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then to I could add on just for like, because is this going to be on the podcast just for clarification?
You're on the podcast
well,
right
do you
now.
Give a shit? Do you want
to
be?
Make-
Tell us.
Yeah.
Speaking of surprise, ladies and gentlemen, Florida did not know this was happening a few hours ago. And I invited Florida Top on to meet Josh. Didn't mention your smack dab in the middle of Tattoo Guardians podcast show.
Yeah.
I figured
awesome.
We'd bring that up at some point.
right.
But then for the listeners, I feel like this is important to add on. Like I start off with these three questions and they're a really good foundation and it's a good way to get good information in a short interaction. But more importantly is the fact that it does open up that door to learn more from these people. So like if you're walking around, you can like learn these things. And if you can tell they're really focused and they don't, you know, they're giving you the amount of time that they can, but then they need to like get back to it, you know, you move on. Or sometimes if somebody's really focused, I'll even say like, if you don't have the time to answer my questions now, could I come back later? And then that's usually when, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Come back like towards the end of the day, I'll have more time to talk to.
But a great point that I want to highlight, the very point that Florida's sharing from experience here. Number one, guys, she showed up not only pleasant with an ask, but poignant. Hey, just wanted to meet you. And I just got three questions. The three questions I ask everybody, right? So, boom, already that helps me feel like, well, I could in my head be like, well, I got 3 seconds, you know, or I can, you know,
right,
or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's poignant versus the people that come up and be like, oh, my God, you're awesome. Can I pick your brain? That already sounds exhausting. Mm-hmm. To pick the term, can I pick your brain, is a pet peeve to
it's a
lot of people, you know. And well, we know what you mean, but my God, it's already like you're already picking at me. It's already tiresome. The people that come up and be like, man, I want to learn from you, man. I just want right. But there's such a wide open door and I'm already carrying a load. And now you're the type that's just going to try and hop on my wagon and be like, dude, you're a god. Right. Right. Even though. And so I love what Florida's bringing up. approach, and it's poignant. I got three questions. I just got one question to ask you. But notice, even when Josh was asked the three questions, he gave her more.
Yeah, it leads to elaboration, which is awesome. You end up getting, like, especially, and I think the kinds of question I ask are important too, because it shows that, like, I'm not just like, what machine do you use? What inks do you use? What needles do you use? It's like, I'm getting to, like, the actual meat of, like, learning. And the something that if you're going to go out and try this, I highly, highly recommend it, because every single time I do this, when I come back, it genuinely feels like I level up in my work because of the advice that I've been given. And if you find an artist when you're doing it and you're like, man, I really want to, like, watch this person work for a while, ask the questions, open the door. And then every single time when I've been like, hey, like, thank you so much for answering my questions, I really love the piece you're working on, is it cool if I stand here and watch you work? And they're all like, every single time they're like, absolutely. Cause I've already shown them that, like, you know, I actually care about learning from them, and I'm not just gonna just, like, stand there and stare and not absorb anything.
Yeah. How long have you been tattooing?
I just had my 2-year anniversary the 1st of this month. So 2 years and a month now for being full time.
Still is.
Yeah.
Still a tattoo Todd. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So good.
So.
But is on the Tattoo Guardians podcast. And it's not because I saw a portfolio, right? This is the exact example. That you just joined Tattoo Business Mastery, got accepted into that program. Like, so much in your life has changed just in the past 2 weeks from having
and
the
it's,
courage.
It's crazy. Like, you know, cause cause I've been trying so hard. I've been working so hard nonstop. And like, I was kind of like sitting there for a while. I'm like, man, I'm just waiting for the universe to bring me what I need next. I'm just like, I'm waiting on it. And then it kind of like hit me today. Cause there was a significant shift in how I started. Like, I started forcing myself. I was already an incredibly positive person, but I started forcing myself into an even better mindset and trying to be even more open to opportunities. And I think it's like, it kind of hit me today that I think the universe was just waiting for me to be ready. And like, these opportunities, they're like waiting, and it's finally happening, and I'm so stoked about everything, and I feel great right now. Like,
so awesome. Good, Florida.
Your energy really comes through, you know.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, you know, this is such good advice and such a good way to be. Look at the energy that Florida is putting out and receiving.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. What's one thing, Florida, I told you that reminded you of that really hit?
Yeah, I don't even have to look at my notes. You turned to me and you said very, very poignantly, and I was in no way prepared for it. You just looked at me and you were like, you are worthy. And that hit really, really hard. I feel like people don't hear that enough, that they are worthy. They're worth it. And
yeah,
it just
some people never hear that, you know.
My God. And you are, look at you sitting here talking with me and Josh and thousands of tattoo artists all over the globe.
It's pretty fucking crazy.
Yes, Florida. Whew, happy day. My goodness. Tattoo Guardians all over the world, we love you. We appreciate you. Oh, I know today has inspired you. And let the example in life of this glowing light we now know as Florida inspire you.
If I could, if I could add, like, I would like to share the best piece of advice that I've ever received. And there's actually two, but I'm gonna stick with the main one that really made the difference for me. And that's, and you guys, you may have already said it on the podcast before. I'm still catching up on episodes, or you've probably heard it before. But it's that all the greatest things in life are placed on the other side of fear. And therefore, you have to go through fear to get to those great things. And I think, like, that's really important to keep in mind, because like, I was terrified to go to that first convention and talk to artists. I was terrified to go to Hell City and work the live wet paint project the other weekend. But I pushed through it. and look at all of this amazingness that's happened now. You know, I was scared just to talk to you. I was scared to get on this call. And if you just keep pushing through that stuff, the rewards keep coming. And I think that's something that's really important to keep in mind.
My God.
But, all right.
Woo! Yes. That's a good word, Florida. That's a good word. Oh, I love it. Mike, Josh, I love you boys. Thanks for letting me have our friend Florida on to meet.
Absolutely.
It was a surprise to everyone. Tattoo guardians all over the world. We speak blessings upon you. Oh, from the words of Florida, your greatest, best life is just on the other side of fear. That's why we apply courage and just do it anyways, as if this is your one life. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week.